Now presents The Green Room, brought to you by Audible.
So welcome to the first episode of The Green Room. Today's guest is Rob Paulsen, the voice of my childhood. And you know what's crazy is every character that I watched growing up that I kind of had a connection with, like, I like this guy, he's kind of like me or whatever, I realized later on that Rob Paulsen was the voice of all these characters, all these crazy characters, from Pinky and the Brain, Yakko from Animaniacs, a couple of the Ninja Turtles over time, Carl from Jimmy Neutron, and was his name PJ on Goof Troop, Max's friend. Were we talk like this? I don't think Max.
Never saw that one.
You never saw Goof Troop?
I did.
Yeah, that was PJ. Pete. It was Pete's son.
I think it was PJ. Pete was Pete.
And he had a sister named Pistol?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was the voice of all these characters, and I'm like, this guy's incredible. So to me, he was my Mel Blanc growing up.
Okay.
And so we had the opportunity to have him on the show, and so I jumped at it, and he was nothing but great and the nicest guy. He sent me a thank you email after the interview was done, and I'm like, what are you thanking me for? Mm-hmm. I'm thanking you. You are incredible and such a sweet guy. I mean, you can't get nicer than Rob Paulsen. And he just released a new book, or is releasing a new book, called Voice Lessons, which you can pre-order now on Amazon. In fact, you can probably get it on Audible here in a week or so. And you can get it for free with a 30-day free trial just by going to mznow.tv/give-me-a-book.
Give me a book.
So here is Rob Paulsen from January 17th, 2017. Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Let me just say this. If it wasn't for you, my childhood would not have been as great as it was, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, man. Well, consider my day made. I have to tell you, Michael, that really is the ultimate compliment. And there are times, you know, when you do what I and these incredibly gifted actors out here do for a living, it is a relatively anonymous profession, as you can imagine. But now with the advent of all this social media, we get a chance, and the thing like we're doing this weekend in Dallas, you know, with Marvelous Mirror DC, we get these conventions that are springing up like zits on a 12-year-old, man. I mean,
right.
They're all over the place.
Right.
And so we get a chance now to go meet people around the world who have that same sentiment. And who knew? I mean, you know, I was getting a paycheck, and I knew that we were having fun, and people were watching it and all of that. But the extent to which people like yourself have been affected in a positive way by these characters is something that I would never have known were it not for all of these great events. So thank you very much. That goes way beyond just a paycheck, and it's really gratifying. I appreciate that.
No, thank you. And you know, when I was a kid, I knew who you were without knowing who you were. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't know Rob Paulsen, but I knew your voices and your characters.
Well, thank you. And it does make sense. And it turns out that we've all known each other.
Right.
For literally 25 years, we just didn't know that we knew each other.
Right.
But I was the same way with June Foray and Paul Frees and Mel Blanc and all those, you know, Don Messick and Dawes Butler, all those actors whom I grew up listening to, and then I got out here and was able to work with a few of them. I knew who they were, and their characters really affected me in a profound way, and millions of people. But when you get a chance to meet each other, it is the most beautiful exchange, man, and I'm looking forward to it in Dallas this weekend. And all I do is I come home with a big smile on my face, and I'm exhausted from saying thank you all weekend. It's the coolest thing, man.
But isn't it crazy that, you know, as a kid, I would watch a cartoon, and if you didn't have a part in that cartoon, if you weren't a character, I didn't feel like that cartoon was legitimate. Like, if I you know what I mean? It's like, it was weird, but that's how I thought as a kid. Like, I remember when Jimmy Neutron came and, you know, it was computer animated. It was a different world, you know? And, you know, like, what is this? And then you played, was it PJ, or what was his name? I don't remember his name.
Carl,
that's right.
Carl, and don't tell anybody, but it's a ripoff of PJ. I knew where you were going.
Well, I like PJ too, but, you know, I recognized, you know, hey, this guy is doing this character.
Totally.
And it legitimized it for me, and I continue to watch it. Talking about your characters, you know, 25 plus years later is incredible to me, you know, that I get a chance to talk to you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and of course, you're a radio guy, and you got to, you know, you use your voice as well. So it makes perfect sense that you would have a probably a more critical ear than the average person, but the cool thing about this gig, not unlike radio, which, by the way, is a tough gig, and you know that better than anybody, man. It's kind of like being a baseball manager. You're just hired to be fired. It's
right.
A tough gig. We're not too dissimilar in this particular business, because the great thing about the gig is that nobody cares what I look like. I'm old enough to be your father, probably, but it has no bearing on how I look. And that's a beautiful thing, that I can be hired for things at 60 years old that I would never have been considered for on camera. And I'm working as much now as I ever have.
Right.
But the beautiful thing is that nobody cares that I'm, you know, a middle-aged white guy.
Right.
And it's a really great thing. And the other side of that coin is that I can now cultivate a fan base that is cross-generational, that there, you and people your age who have children are arguably as big a fans of Animaniacs or Pinky and the Brain or Jimmy Neutron or Ninja Turtles or The Mask or The Tick or whatever 25 years later because of Netflix and different platforms on which people watch these shows, and they hold up really well, particularly Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah,
hold
they really
up
do.
So beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, we get people all the time who are 30, 35 years old, 40 years old. And they and their kids watch Animaniacs on Netflix, and they're blown away by all this music that we did 20 years ago, and we still do it now.
Right.
And so the great thing about Dallas this weekend is that you're going to meet people there. We'll get a chance to meet the original, you know, cast of Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs, and we still do the voices now, and it doesn't matter. You know, Mel Blanc was doing Bugs till he was in his 80s.
Yeah. Yeah,
and, it's pretty cool to see the reaction of people when we say hello, Ned. You know, they just freak out. And it's just fantastic.
You were probably one of the big influencers in my life to try to get into like voice stuff.
Thank
you know,
you.
Whether it's radio or what. You know, I'm not good enough to be
sure.
in voice acting. I did emulate a few of your voices over the years, and I do a pretty decent Pinky, but it's like a poor man. It's like a bootleg. Pinky in the Brain, but you
yeah,
and
man,
like,
but what's cool about that is you can create your own gig, and I talk about this on my podcast all the time. You know, I'm not a particularly good mimic or
impressionist.
I mean I live in Hollywood, for God's sake. Everybody, you know, there are a zillion good impressionists,
right?
Jim Meskimen, Maurice LaMarche, Kevin Michael Richardson, just fantastic, incredibly great impressionists, and they're friends of mine. You know,
yeah.
Brad Garrett. I mean, these guys can do incredible impressions.
Yeah, Brad's pretty good,
but,
too.
Yeah, often you'd find kind of a half-assed impression, like Jeff Bennett is a phenomenal actor and impressionist, and when people say, hey, producers say, hey, man, can you do this character, this impression? I say, well, you know, I do a pretty good impression of Frank Welker's perfect impression.
Right.
It turns out that's it's a good enough version to be a new character.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's a good way of looking at it, actually.
Yeah
I do like a really
absolutely.
Crappy version of like Frank Caliendo impressions. That's where I am. I'm the poor man's Frank Caliendo.
Right. Frank kills it.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, you never know, especially on the spur of the moment. You never know when you're going to be able to create something that will work for you in the context in which you've been asked to do it.
Right. So being in the industry as long as you have you and being as well-respected as you are, do you even have to audition anymore, or do you just walk in? Do people just say, oh, this is the role for Rob right here?
Yeah, boy, from your lips to God's checkbook. I certainly get a lot more work given to me than I have in the past. And
yeah.
That's very kind of you. Hopefully my reputation and others, you know, the people whom we've spoken about get work given to them for certainly more than we used to. However, there is no substitute for the cachet of celebrity. And by that, I mean, if people recognize you, and especially in the business out here, if you are a recognizable celebrity, that is to say, on television or you have a TV show or, you know, folks recognize you on a talk show, it turns out that the characters that I've had, and let's make it clear, I don't write them and I don't draw them. I'm
right.
just an actor and a singer.
Right.
However, I do have a pretty large fan base. But the truth is, Mike, if I were on a television show and I was the second banana on Who's Cooking the Soup for two or three seasons,
yeah,
I would have a lot more work in Pixar movies because I was a celebrity. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And I totally and utterly accept that. So, yeah, I'm auditioning all the time. My goal, I think, is to get to a place where I control it a little bit more, and I cultivate my own fan base and celebrity, and I'm kind of working on that, and it's happening to some extent, but it's also just a real labor of love.
Yeah.
The truth is, if somebody said, you know what, you're done tomorrow, and we're going to punch your ticket and you're out, I better be careful, because 2016 is already, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got a few days left.
Playing field. Yeah, I better shut my mouth. But the truth is, if I were to punch my ticket in the next couple of days, man, I've had a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, I really want to go to a play. I'm trying, like every other actor, to see how far I can take it. And people like you and events like this weekend in Dallas and all these other great events around the world and my podcast and the opportunity to reach millions of people who know my work and they know me by name, I just don't know that they know me.
Right.
But you can make an argument that if you were to take the pulse of sort of the internet, if that were possible, and it probably is, and I'm sure there's some kid out there that can do this, but the fact is that there are tens of millions of people who know the characters that I've voiced. They just may not recognize me walking down the street.
Right.
I'll tell you what, man, if you and I were out to lunch somewhere in Dallas, within 30 seconds of us telling the wait staff that you and I, you know, that Mike Zavala is having lunch with Pinky or Yakko or Raphael or Donatello or Carl Weezer.
Right.
The fact is that the wait staff or the restaurant staff would freak out in the coolest way.
Right.
Because all it does is make them happy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very grateful about that. And so I still audition a lot because I have to and I have to make a living. But it's definitely better than it was in terms of, but hey, man, I'm a lucky guy, man. I got nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
Don't shed a tear for me about the fact that I don't make $2 million for being the talking chicken on the next Pixar movie.
Right.
I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you've had a very amazing career. Now, speaking of amazing careers, Andrea Romano, who cast and directed some of the best vocal talent really ever, probably, and has been involved in some of the biggest cartoons since maybe the late 80s, early 90s. What kind of impact do you think it will have on the industry now that she's retired?
Well, and I got to make that clear. I had lunch with Andrea the day that thing came out about her retiring.
Oh, you did?
I said, wait a minute. I just talked to you 15 minutes ago. And my friends, you know, people that are sort of Facebook friends or Twitter friends or whatever are saying, oh, my God, Andrea, what a legacy. And I said, are you dying or are you quitting? Or
right. What's happening?
No, I did an interview. She said, no, I did an interview in which I say that in the next 5 years I'm going to retire. And I said, oh, okay, because we're the same age. And I said, oh, well, that makes sense. I don't plan on retiring. I want to be like my friend Welker, you know, who's 10 years older than I, and he's still doing Curious George and Scooby-Doo and all that stuff every day.
Yeah.
And he does it as well now as he did 40 years ago. So,
yeah.
And she said, no. I'm going to retire, but I think, I hope I made it clear that it's not for a few years, but I'm looking at retirement.
Oh, see, yeah.
Okay, well.
I was thinking it was immediate. I wanted to take a workshop from her.
Right. No, and you should. I mean, she's pretty incredibly great, and we're very, very close friends, but she made it clear to me that at least her intention was to give the opinion that, or rather her intention was to let folks know that she was thinking of retiring in 5 years, but,
yeah,
you know, not right now.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, it's going to make a huge impact when she finally does retire.
Oh, yeah, because, and she was also, like I, learned from the best, and Gordon, our friend Gordon Hunt, who unfortunately just passed away, was another casualty of 2016, but he was 87, and he just died about a week and change ago, and it was not unexpected, but it's always sad, and Gordon was the subject and the guest on a very terrific podcast I did a couple of years ago. And Gordon was the one who gave both Andrea and me our starts, and many other actors and directors. And so, Andrea will leave an indelible mark. But, yeah, she directed Animaniacs, Freakazoid, Pinky and the Brain, Superman, Batman, Freakazoid. Now she's directing the latest iteration of Ninja Turtles, on which I play Donatello. She directed the last few seasons of SpongeBob. Yeah, she's the best of the best, without question.
Yeah. Out of all the characters that you voiced over the years, which one was your favorite?
Boy,
and that's a hard one.
I know it's a hacky response, but yeah, it's like, you know, know, Sophie's Choice, to be sure. I would say if I had to make a choice, probably Pinky,
yeah,
because I won an Emmy for Pinky, and it meant a lot to me. And people still, to this day, are lobbying Warner Brothers and Amblin to do a reboot of Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, why can't we? I mean, it's like it's everything old is new again, you know? Why not bring it back?
Yeah,
Fuller House came back.
I mean, stranger things have happened, my friend. I certainly don't have my finger on the pulse of what Mr. Spielberg or Warner Brothers do,
right,
in terms of what shows they decide to reboot. But if the response by the fact that Animaniacs showed up on Netflix a few months ago is any indication, it certainly would not be, I mean, it would be a, no pun intended, no-brainer.
Right.
If they could work out the logistics between Amblin and Warner Brothers. But man, when Animaniacs premiered on Netflix in April of this year, my Twitter feed exploded.
Oh, I bet.
It was like the number one trending thing on Facebook for 3 days.
Yeah.
Because it was this example of about what we've been speaking, is that people just freaked out that Animaniacs was on Netflix and they could all watch every episode, all 100 episodes in HD and to United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, and all their kids could learn it, you know? And
right.
So I would be not only incredibly grateful, but I have to say, not surprised if one day I get a phone call and said, hey, here's the deal. Steven and Warner Brothers decide they want to do a reboot. I would be, not only would I be there, but it would be an incredibly happy thing to share with the world, because there is an enormous audience for those characters, and they are dearly, dearly loved. And especially with Pinky and the Brain, the Pinky and the Brain Christmas special, people love that show.
Yeah.
And so Maurice and I are going to be in Dallas this weekend, and you will get to hear Maurice say, Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering? And I will say, I think so, Brian, but me and Pinky Longstocking, I mean, what would the children look like?
That's awesome.
It is it is great, man, and all it does is make people smile.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful thing. I'm so, so grateful.
It really is. Now, if these guys can't get their act together and revive Pinky and the Brain or Animaniacs or whatever, what I think we should do, start a GoFundMe, raise the money, buy the rights, and then we'll just self-produce it.
Okay.
We'll do that. I mean, I don't know how to do animation, but we'll figure that out. I'm sure there's a YouTube tutorial.
I love the cut of your jib, my brother, because, you know, what the hell? I'll do a GoFundMe page to raise $500 million or
right,
whatever it would
easy
cost.
Easy.
And we'll do, yeah, right. No big deal. You
right
got that under the front seat of the Bentley.
And right.
You live in Dallas, for
right,
God's sake.
Exactly.
You live in the, apart from Hollywood, you live in the mecca of conspicuous consumption.
Right.
I mean, how many, you know, there's a McLaren dealership on every corner in Big D.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
Rob, thank you so much. I really can't thank you enough.
Oh,
I really
pleasure
can't. You have a podcast, listen, Talking Tunes, friend, right, on iTunes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can download it on iTunes. It's free. I've done 130 or 140 of them, and it is literally what the name suggests. It is a podcast about which is we discuss animation, and you hear from the people who do this at a really high level and have for many years. Myself, Maurice LaMarche, Jeff Bennett, Mark Hamill, Tress McNeil, Chris Summer, D. Bradley Baker, you know, Frank Welker. We all talk to each other. It's the greatest thing. And Jess Harnell, and we just have a blast. So tune in. It's free. And thank you, Mike. It's
no
really
problem
a pleasure chatting with you. And thank you very much for inflating my ego more than it already was.
No, but I mean it. I really, it's an. I don't get starstruck, but I'm starstruck at this moment because I am talking to the voice of Pinky and Yakko and all the other characters that I grew up watching, and I really do appreciate it. I mean, you inspired me, so thank you. I appreciate
well,
that.
Great, buddy. It is a huge honor.
Your website, robpaulsonlive.com, and Twitter, Yakko Pinky.
That's right.
Right? At Yakko Pinky.
Right. At Yakko Pinky on Twitter. Yes, sir. And you can find me on Facebook, as you said, robpaulsonlive.com, where we discuss, we're booking events now for 2017, rather, where we have Animaniacs live music with different
awesome
orchestras around the country. And it's pretty cool. So, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff happening in the next year or two, and the podcast will explain a lot of that. And at Yakko Pinky on Twitter, and it's all good, and we'll see you in Big D this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, buddy. Happy New Year.
The Green Room, brought to you by Audible. Get more show at mznow.tv.